And the slate for week 5 is not as exciting as the last couple of weeks, which is fine. We'll still break down the games, but I want to say, we work the word porn into this episode in a lot of very different creative ways, and I'm totally here for it.
I am with you, you know, Thursday night, and we're already feeling a little frisky, so let's get into today's show. We have our on-field 5. We're talking Bill O'Brien being fired. We got a quarterback change in Washington. And of course, you know, there are some COVID updates. So let's get into today's show. I'll show you. Welcome to the Dime Package presented by Owens Mixers. I'm your host, Fran, joined by the beautiful Casey Smith. We are getting ready for week 5 with our Owens Mixers. How are we feeling, Casey?
We're feeling great. It's a beautiful Thursday morning in New York City. I think it's like 55 degrees out. And you know what, Fran? I'm having a transfusion. I don't care. I've gotten most of my shows done for the week, and there's nothing wrong with a little Owens Mixer transfusion in the morning. It's grape juice, right? That's okay. You can drink juice in the morning.
It's really not, because I will tell you, you know, the foreplay guys really were involved in coming up with this creation, and therefore it was made with the intent of playing while you're golfing, and people golf very early in the morning.
True.
So
by this point, they could be done with 18. They could be done with 18 by now.
If they can do it, you can do it.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm just sitting here sipping on my transfusion right here.
It's amazing. The Owens mixers are so great because you just add vodka or whatever alcohol you prefer into your mixer and you are good to go. The transfusion is real grape juice and ginger ale. They're made in the USA with real juice. They're perfect for a quick, easy cocktail, ready to go. You don't have to worry about all the you know, the ingredients.
We're not mixologists.
It's all simply right in a can. So go to owensmixers.com and use the code BARSTOOL15 to get 15% off. And right now, 20% of everything sold on the Owens Mixers site through October 12th goes to Jake Owens Charity. So get some great cocktail mixers and help out charity at the same time. It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for everybody, especially me, because I'm just sitting here drinking on a Thursday morning.
Exactly. You gotta love it, because that's just the kind of week that we're in. We're going into week 5. And you know what, Casey? I gotta say, looking at the slate of games, nothing really tickled my fancy. Like, nothing really, I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Like, I'm excited for this one.
Yeah, no, I would definitely say nothing tickled my fancy either, which, by the way, is one of my favorite sayings. So I'm really glad you pulled that one out, because I've forgotten about it. I'll probably use that 15 times for the rest of the day. But this is a kind of down slate. Whenever you go through the games for week 5 versus the last 4 weeks, there's more games that I don't care about than I do care about. There's some interesting storylines, but for the most part, it's kind of meh. But then again, Fran, in 2020, I will take meh football over no football any day. No complaints here.
Absolutely. And sometimes the weeks where you do kind of look at all the games and you're like, I'm not really sure, is the week when everything like goes to shit, or there's, you know, crazy games, crazy plays. So hopefully we're in that kind of situation. And because of that, let's get into it with our on-field 5. We're starting with the Raiders at the Chiefs, our 1 o'clock, one of the 1 o'clock games. We've been watching the Chiefs closely because of, you know, COVID testing and checking out how everything's been going. But as of today, Thursday, you know, they had 0 positive tests. So hopefully this game goes on as planned. And, did the Chiefs have looked pretty great, even though that Monday night game was a little bit of a snooze, but that's okay.
It was. When I look at the Chiefs, my question is, do you think that they've been playing down in certain situations? Because, you know, they had the little bit of a scare against the Chargers. They had to win in overtime. But then they go and absolutely destroy the Ravens on Monday Night Football. And that game was supposed to be one of the biggest games of the regular season. Yeah. And it just wasn't even close. And then last week, we see them play a Cam Newton-less Patriots team. Yeah. And it was a slog. You're right. It was a snooze fest, despite the fact that, you know, the Chiefs and the Patriots were playing, which is always a great matchup. And I don't think that the Chiefs are struggling. I think that they're almost playing to whoever they're playing against. And that's just not something that you want to see from Patrick Mahomes if you're a Chiefs fan. But at the same time, you know that he can then kick it in and the rest of the team can kick it in and beat the shit out of the Ravens.
Yeah. And Sure, that has a little bit on Patrick, but mostly that's Andy Reid. That is
Yes.
Andy Reid's MO. You know, we dealt with that for many years in Philadelphia with the Eagles. That was one of the most frustrating things is that there it was a playing to your competition element to his coaching, especially when in blowout games or anything like that. You know, then all of a sudden they kind of play it safe and leaves room for comebacks. But yeah, that's to me, that's an Andy Reid
For
thing.
sure.
And, you know, hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, I guess I haven't really been as aware of it, but historically, like the Raiders Chiefs is a pretty big rivalry, and it hasn't been recently. So, and you know, Derek Carr was asked about that this week. And he had said to make it a rivalry, we have to win some games. And he's right because he is 2-10 against the Chiefs.
It's
So
not
that
good.
really is not a rivalry, current
Nope.
rivalry.
But I actually appreciate that honesty because I feel like a lot of times when they are rivalries, you could be just getting your ass kicked every single year and you're like, no, it's a heated
Yep.
rivalry, which may be true for fans. But for Derek Carr to say that, it's like, yeah, we have to start winning. And Derek Carr had a really hot start at the beginning of this season. And everyone was talking about, oh, is he finally playing up to that contract? Is he finally playing up to his potential? We talked about how he looks like he's wearing eyeliner all the time. Absolutely beautiful set of eyelashes on that man. But the
Yep.
interesting thing, Fran, for me with the Raiders is that, you know, Derek Carr has been playing well. It's kind of fizzled out a little bit from what we saw earlier in the season, but their
Yep.
offense is very balanced and they've been just kind of quietly chugging along in that fashion. So it'll be interesting to see how, like you mentioned, Andy Reid kind of playing down to certain things, like what the Chiefs' offense and defense are going to do because of what the Raiders are doing. I still am going to take the Chiefs. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, up there with the best quarterbacks in the league right now. But I mean, I think Derek Carr is not going to be able to get it done. But then again, it wouldn't surprise me. If it's a rivalry game, I guess anything can
Yeah.
happen.
Yeah, you always kind of sneaky want to see something good happen from the underdog in the situation, but yes, I am also with you and picking the Chiefs. Second game we
Woo,
have
buddy.
are the
Woo, buddy.
Eagles at the Steelers. Another 1 o'clock game, a little Pennsylvania in-house situation. They're playing in Pittsburgh. This could have a potential for being a little scary. Now, I will say the Eagles defense has been playing well up front. Now, the defensive back situation, they could get absolutely slaughtered by the Steelers receiving core,
Well,
and that could be very dangerous, but it all depends on if the front nine can get some pressure on Ben Roethlisberger.
at least you're self-aware, you know? At least
Yeah.
that's what being self-aware. And you're right. I mean, whatever happens on the line and in the linebacker core is going to be very important to get pressure on the Steelers offense. It's interesting with the Steelers because they do have the extra week because they didn't play last week. They were supposed to play the Titans, the whole Corona disaster that we've seen. So I don't think that this.
Right. It almost feels like they're coming off a bye, but it was like a week 4 bye.
Right. And I don't know. They never had any issues, right? Like they were able to practice the entire time. Like I don't think they ever
I
had to
believe
shut
so.
down. So
Yeah. Because
this will be.
because they didn't interact with any team that had COVID. They were just
Supposed
lined
to.
up to play a team that was,
A team in Nashville, and Nashville's just a disaster as a whole in general. But
Yep.
I think that the Steelers having the extra week, and I know they're professional football players, so it's not the same as college, where it's like, oh, you have an extra week to prepare. You know, they're going to go out there and play every single week. I do think that it helps the Steelers more than the Eagles because the Eagles are coming off that win, but it was a kind of a struggle to get that win.
Yep.
So my favorite part about this game, and this is a complete side note, if you are listening to this podcast, which you are because you're hearing me talk about it, so bear with me here. Did you know that the Barstool Sportsbook app is doing like a sandwich giveaway? Like if you bet on the Eagles, what's the big Philadelphia sandwich place? Is it Permonti's?
Well, yes, there's plenty of. Are you talking about cheesesteaks?
No, that there's like a specific. I probably shouldn't give free ads.
Oh.
Okay, no free
Yeah.
ads. But if you go
I thought we were
download,
talking cheesesteaks.
well, if you go download the Barstool Sportsbook app right now, because
And
this
if you're in
game. Yeah,
Pennsylvania.
if you're in Pennsylvania, but this game is really big because both teams are obviously in there. And if you bet on the Eagles, you get a free sandwich somewhere. If you bet on the Steelers and you win, you get a free sandwich somewhere. Katie just handed it to me. It's called Victory Mondays. I'm not going to say exactly what the sandwich places are because they're not paying us.
You're going to have to download the app.
The app in Pennsylvania. But that's what makes this game even more interesting to me is that all of Barstool's betting crew will be down there losing their minds in Philadelphia this weekend.
100%. And, you know, the Steelers only have two players on the IR right now, which is a luxury. They're coming in healthy. It should be an interesting game.
How are you
Steelers
feeling about Carson
are definitely
Wentz?
Big favorites.
How are you feeling about Carson?
I feel good.
Okay.
For right now. You're also, you know, it's Thursday morning. My answer could very much change by the time Sunday at noon hits. But I feel good about it now. And
I like the hesitation. I can see. I can see you. People that are listening can't see you. I can see the looking to the side, looking down, like shit. Yeah. What is my answer going to be?
You know, it gets tough, but I have no, you know, I after a win, like I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. Okay. So we're going in this. I feel good. We'll see what happens. They're big time dogs, so we'll
are you
going
to pick them? You feel good enough to pick them to win?
Nope.
Ooh. The lean in really sold that one. Nope.
Last week I picked with my heart and I picked the Eagles to win and they did win. However, this week I'm picking with my brain. I just feel like the Steelers are a much better team. So.
Okay. Yeah. No, the heart versus the head thing is always tough when it comes to sports because we're just irrational sports fans. We always want to believe our heart. My heart just never knows in general what to do. So, I think the Steelers are just a better team. You know, that offense is always loaded no matter what, even if they don't have massive success like they've had in the past. You've got Big Ben and I just don't trust the Eagles, Fran. I'm sorry. I just don't do it.
They're not very trustworthy right
now. Well, but they're leading the division though, which is sad. The NFC East.
It's a joke.
The NFC East is the worst division in the history of football right now. Like you said, the Cowboys are playing the Giants this weekend. You know how big that game should be? The fact that the Giants are 0-4 right now, the Cowboys have struggled. They should be 0-4 if the Falcons weren't such a disaster. So nobody's even talking about the Cowboys and the Giants unless you're like in those fan bases. But from a national perspective right now, that game is always huge and no one cares because the Giants and the Cowboys are both struggling.
Yes, both struggling and the Giants look really bad.
Really bad.
So it's like, yes, that is a division game, but
in the worst division in football history.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I really think so. I don't know statistics here. I'm not, you know, like a mathematics stats person. I know Katie Stats is in the room. She is. I legitimately think that it could be the worst division in football history in 2020. I really believe that. But
it really stinks.
All right. This is kind of out of left field, Fran, but I just was thinking about this. If you had to pick one New York team, the Jets or the Giants, to get their win first, is it going to be the Jets or the Giants?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Jets.
Ooh. Such a toss-up.
And only because I feel like there's a little bit more fun going on with the Jets right now. Like, obviously, they have a lot of injuries. But on top of that, Sam Darnold now is not playing and Joe Flacco is playing this week. So I feel like we're really mixing things up. So I'm like, oh, Joe Flacco's playing for the Jets. You know what? I'm going to see what happens. Let's go Jets.
Let's ask the PMT guys. Is Joe Flacco elite? Who knows? To be determined. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So
I like that pick.
Makes it a little more exciting to see something happen. You know, the Giants are obviously going to stick with Daniel Jones. He's their guy. So
yikes.
It could be a long road.
Just so you know, the Jets' next three games are Cardinals, Chargers, Bills. Giants' next three is Cowboys, Washington, Eagles.
I still think I'm going to go with the Jets because I agree with Fran. They at least look like they kind of care.
Yeah.
The Giants don't look like they care. Although I say that and I'm sitting here, it would not surprise me if the Giants beat the Cowboys this weekend. So at this point, Dak could throw for 700 yards and the Giants might still beat them. So
that is true. I do think the Cowboys will win this week. But if we're looking at a Giants, oh my God, excuse me, Giants football team. No, I mean, want to make sure that we're respecting the Washington football team.
Yes.
And their new name. When the Giants play the football team, that's even worse.
It just sounds so, I mean, I love the fact that it's the Washington football team, but it just sounds so clownish. It sounds like one of those like South Park making fun of something. It's like, oh, the football team. It's like, no, that's their actual name.
That's really their name. Okay, let's get into the next game. It's the Panthers at the Falcons, another 1 o'clock game. The Panthers are 2-2, and the Falcons are 0-4. And yet, they are playing in Atlanta, but the Panthers, as of right now, are still underdogs in this game, which is kind of shocking to me. I don't know why anyone would have any reason to think that Atlanta would be the favorite to win this game.
Yeah, that's where I wonder what's going on in Vegas. When, and I know we don't do betting right? lines on this show, but like, what the fuck? Like, why yeah. would they be? I mean, so the
Panthers looked good last week.
Teddy
Bridgewater looks good.
Yes, and they've beaten the Chargers and the Cardinals. It's not like they've beat two really, really bad teams. Now, the Cardinals, and we were super high on them a couple weeks ago, partly because of Cliff Kingsbury, but we're not going to go down that road. I'm not going to do that to myself here. I need to pay attention and focus. But I mean, the Cardinals have still been a good team this year. Now they look a little bit worse. They maybe have become who we thought they might be. The Chargers as well. So it's not like the Panthers have just been playing absolute shitty, shitty teams. Meanwhile, the Falcons, they just stink at closing out games. We've harped on this a million times on this podcast, every NFL show. I don't know. And I know it's Thursday morning. We have time. I don't know how Dan Quinn hasn't been fired yet. I thought he would get fired after last weekend. On Tuesday, they came out with some cryptic quote that was like, well, as of today, he won't be fired today. Right. And it was like, so he's going to be fired this week. He hasn't yet.
Yep.
If they lose, Fran.
If they lose, is he fired?
I don't think they let him. Like, well, I guess they're in Atlanta, so they don't need to let him on the team plane. But whatever the equivalent of not letting somebody on the team plane home, like, they have to fire Dan Quinn if they go 0-5 to start this season, especially because they've had opportunities throughout the season so far to win. And it's not like the Panthers are 4-0 and coming in with, I mean, yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's looked good, but you can't lose 5 in a row if you're Dan Quinn.
No, definitely not. However, I am going to pick the Panthers. I like watching the Panthers, and, you know, I feel like maybe you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder coming into this game as underdogs when you definitely shouldn't be underdogs.
The Falcons. And it's not like home field advantage is playing a huge factor right now because stadiums are at very limited capacity. I'm going to pick the Panthers as well. I like how they've been spreading the ball around. And again, the Falcons are cursed. I can't say it enough. Yep. The Falcons are cursed. Matt Ryan is cursed. Dan Quinn is cursed and fired. I don't know how anybody could pick the Falcons, but then again, you know, I've been wrong before. So,
yeah, and as they say, you know, Vegas always knows something. So
they know something's going on in Vegas.
Yeah. All right. The next game we have is the Broncos at Patriots, the 4:25 game. We know the Patriots have obviously been dealing with some COVID situation, a little COVID situation, and it seems like as of right now, it's possible but not likely that Cam Newton plays. And from Monday night, we know that the Patriots quarterback situation is stinky. It's real stinky.
It is no good, Fran. I wrote down on this piece of paper, just from not even just the Patriots, the Broncos too. These are all the different names that we could potentially see at quarterback for one of these two teams. Jeff Driskel, Brett Rippon, Jared Stidham. Blake Bortles, Brian Hoyer, and then Cam Newton. And then
a hilarious list.
Drew Locke, I don't know. They haven't completely ruled him out. You know, again, Drew Locke versus Cam Newton going into the season, maybe a little interesting. I just don't. I know Stephon Gilmore is the only other Patriot that's tested positive. He joined Cam Newton on the COVID list. That's a big hit for their defense, for the Patriots defense. But I just don't understand this whole Corona testing thing, because we don't know if Cam Newton's going to play or not. Like, I've always been told it's 14 days. That's what we've been harping on. But he's asymptomatic, and if he has two negative tests in a row, then he could potentially play. I don't know what's going on.
We're not getting all the information. That's for sure.
The President of the United States was in quarantine for like 24 hours. I don't know how it's all working, but what I do know is that just the list that I just read you of quarterbacks going into this game, it makes it impossible to pick. Like, is Drew Locke finally going to be cleared? I don't know. Is Brian Hoyer going to get another chance? He looked god awful last week. Like, you just, it's impossible to pick this game. We don't know who's playing quarterback.
I know. And it's, you know, the Patriots did hang with the Chiefs for quite some time during that game last week, but it's very hard to look at this game and not pick the Patriots just because they are the Patriots.
Yeah.
But
I like hearing you say that. That sounded nice.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you just can't deny it, but it would be kind of hilarious to see the Broncos win this game. It would.
I don't know what the situation with Blake Bortles is. Why haven't we seen him yet?
He stinks, Casey. The situation is he looks very bad.
Yes, but Fran, I mean, Jeff Driscoll, well, granted, he stinks too. You're telling me that Brett Rippon is the best option if Drew Lock can't play in Denver?
Look at what happened with the Patriots. Everyone, Stidham. Stidham's the guy. Stidham's the guy. We're starting Stidham. All right. They get Cam Newton. They say Stidham's still the guy. And then sneaky, Cam Newton becomes the guy. Now, how much faith? Like, clearly, they lost faith in him very quickly that they did not even have him play after Cam Newton. They had Brian Hoyer come in. And it took Brian Hoyer to look like absolute dog shit for them to put in Stidham. And even then, they were really, it really was so not bad. Good.
I'd like to humble brag really quick. Hand up. I'm going to brag on myself. As somebody who watches a lot of college football, I said all offseason, Jared Stidham is not going to be a good Patriots quarterback. And I had Auburn fans just blowing me up. Like, did you watch him play in college? Like, yeah. And that's why I know he's not going to be a good quarterback for the New England Patriots. I like to pat myself on the back right now. Now, I could be wrong. We can cold takes expose myself at some point. Jared Stidham is not the answer for them. Brian Hoyer, definitely not the answer. Cam Newton is. He's only on that one-year contract. But this is just a game of, like, let's just roll out a quarterback and see who plays. I mean, I might be able to play quarterback for New England. You might be able to play for Denver. Who knows at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for that reason, I'm just going to pick the Broncos for shits and gigs.
Oh. I'm going against me. I mean, I'm clearly going to take the Patriots.
Obviously, you're going to take the Patriots. I'm going to
take the Patriots here. But like I said, I'm more excited. It's like the lottery ball in the NBA. Like, that's what they should do for the quarterbacks. Like, I think, actually, you should just put all of these quarterbacks in one pile. And then, like, if you pull Jeff Driscoll as Bill Belichick, he should have to start Jeff Driscoll. Like, just throw him out there. Roll him out. Who cares?
That would be hilarious. Just like a little, like a bingo situation. Yeah, whoever's ball rolls out, that's,
let's make a mockery of the situation. Why not? Fuck you, COVID. Yep. Let's make a mockery of it.
Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So our last game, Sunday Night Football, Vikings at Seahawks. This could potentially be really bad for the Vikings. Like, the really Vikings bad. Defense. The Vikings defense has allowed 125 points. 31.2 per game, 426 yards per game, a.k.a. Russell Wilson could have, like, 600 yards.
Russell Wilson is the leader in the MVP clubhouse right now for good reason. And there are some other names up there, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, just because I'm going to say Tom Brady, because if I don't, then I would feel bad about myself. But, I mean, yep. Russell Wilson is playing out of his absolute mind right now. The Vikings have been putting up a lot of points, but you're right, Fran. Their defense is good. We could potentially see a lot of points in this game. I think that Jamal Adams is questionable still. I haven't seen an update this morning. Is, yeah. He is?
Yep.
So, and I think there's some other...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play.
So there are some other Seahawks defensive players, I believe, that are still questionable too. So that could get interesting. But, I mean, I'm not betting against Russell Wilson. Who is betting against Russell Wilson at this point?
No, that would honestly just be irresponsible. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's to see how the Seahawks have been playing and then also to see how the Vikings defense has been playing. It just is clearly a mismatch. They're not going to be able to keep up. And like you said, maybe the Vikings offense can keep it close.
Maybe.
But at the end of the day, you can't have your defense let up a billion points, which is very possible in this game. So,
especially to Russell Wilson. And Sierra. Yep. I feel like anything he does, I'm going to give shouts to Sierra too. I don't know why. I just feel like it.
Yep. From a personal standpoint, I can't wait to watch DK Metcalf play against Justin Jefferson. You know, just yes. love seeing two young wide receivers be showcased in a Sunday night football game who are not on the Eagles. Okay. You know what? Let's do a little time check. Where are we at right now?
Yeah, where are we at, like, Katie?
We're optimistic about this show.
24.
Today.
24 minutes.
24. Okay. You know what? We're on track, but maybe we need a little rub.
A little rub. A little rub to last longer, perhaps.
Exactly. You know, we've been talking about them before. We've been talking about them with our podcast, The Roman Swipes. If you haven't heard of them, now you have. They are the secret to longer-lasting sex. They're clinically proven to make you last longer in bed. And
which
it's
is a good thing.
Pretty simple process. You know, they're in little, tiny, discreet packages, and you just swipe, and you're good to go.
You're good to go. The ladies that are listening, we can all admit, you kind of need your guy to last longer sometimes. The guys that are listening, you know how embarrassing it can be if you're not lasting long enough for your girl. So it's a win-win for everybody. And you can just put them in your wallet, put them in your pocket, put them in your purse. They're super easy. And Roman's figured it out. They can help you out in any situation.
Exactly. So if you have, you know, if you're kind of in that situation, maybe a boyfriend, who knows, and you're in a little bit of a slump, or things are happening real quickly these days, try it out.
Try
See
it
what
out.
Happens.
Spice it up. Why not? We like to give good football tips on this podcast, but you know what? We'll throw in a little sex tip here and there. Try it out. Why not?
Try it out. So go to GetRoman.com/dime, and you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/dime. Okay, we have some fun little football tea today because we've got a coach fired. We've got Bill O'Brien, big time out. You know, he was the head coach of the Texans and GM, and he has made some absolutely horrific decisions this year, and now he is paying the price. He has been fired.
You nailed it, Fran, because he has been coaching the Texans, I believe, since 2014. So he's been there for 6 years, but this was his first year as general manager. And if you've been watching the Houston Texans this year, there's somebody that's not on the team anymore that should definitely be on the team to help out that quarterback, Deshaun Watson, and his massive contract he just got. The fact they let DeAndre Hopkins go and he made that trade as a GM in his first year, and the Texans just look terrible. Now, paying Deshaun Watson, I understood at the time, but for you not to keep your superstar weapon for the quarterback that you just gave however much money you did to, horrible decision. And I'm shocked that he even lasted through 4 weeks. I mean, you can't make decisions like that if you're going to be the GM and the head coach.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So this is just a terrible situation if you are a Texans fan, because he really set them up like to just be in a bad place. Like, there's just they are winless.
They're over. No good.
Yeah. They
confirm bad.
Don't really have any young star players. You know, they brought in David Johnson, who is no spring chicken.
No, he's definitely not.
And they have no top picks in 2021. So it's a little hopeless.
Yeah. And you have Deshaun Watson, who has proven to be a good quarterback at the next level. He was very good in college. You give him, that huge contract that they just gave him in the offseason, and then you just set him up and everybody else up for failure. And this is why it always confuses me when head coaches think that they can be good general managers, or, as in Dallas, what's happening, is when owners think they can be good general managers. I understand it's an ego standpoint, but like, just do what you were brought in to do. And I don't know how all the front offices work. I can't pretend like I understand the politics. Like, Bill O'Brien could probably still be coaching the Texans if he didn't try to go make personnel decisions to set up the team for failure. But now you don't look at Bill O'Brien and say, okay, somebody else might have set you up for failure as the coach. You set yourself up for failure. And then as a coach, set your players up for failure. There's just no excuse for that. You cannot do that in professional sports.
No. And 2 years ago, we were looking at Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and they like all on the Texans.
The roster, you know, the names pop. That's what's crazy.
They popped, and now here we are. There's only Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt left. You know, people left in free agency, traded away Hopkins and Clowney. He brought in Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. It was just all around making poor decisions. So therefore, you're going to get fired, and things get very dicey when you put your coach in that GM position as well. As you know, it's just I personally don't think it's a combination that works.
No, I don't think it's a combination for any of the three leaders of a team. When you look at owner, GM, coach, they need to be three different people. Now, obviously, that's when politics really come into play. But like I just said, this is Bill O'Brien's fault because he put himself in a position to fail as a head coach, and then as a head coach put his team in a situation to fail. It's his fault. Now, I mean, obviously, Fran, some of it's on the ownership because they did allow Bill O'Brien to become the general manager. That's kind of how the whole thing works. But at the same time, if you do get the opportunity to be a general manager as a head coach, you cannot make these bad personnel decisions or you'll get your ass fired, just like Bill O'Brien did.
Yeah. And I do want to include one little pro petty post from DeAndre Hopkins because he has kind of been our go-to. He has since deleted this, but, you know, Cal McNair, he spoke about how they just weren't financially going to be able to keep DeAndre Hopkins. He said this on radio, you know, we would love to have him, but it wasn't going to fit financially with all the constraints that we have in operating under the salary cap. Just wasn't possible. And then in a since deleted tweet, DeAndre Hopkins wrote, "Since I am my own agent, I guess I can speak on my client's departure. Kyle, you never responded to my client when he thanked you after his departure. My client never asked for a new deal. He asked for a Band-Aid deal, which means a little raise. My client is very happy in Arizona, by the way."
Pro petty, baby. Love it.
It's hilarious.
Love it. I love the shade, too, of just talking about himself in third person. It always makes it funnier. Yeah. If you land a third person joke well, it's fantastic. Now, if it bombs badly. But good for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we touched on it a little bit with the situation going on with players testing positive for COVID and you know, just people in the buildings testing positive for COVID. The situation in Tennessee is pretty bad. I mean, they've had 23 positive tests since September 24th. Now, this Titans-Bills game is in jeopardy. There's talks. This is no confirmation. There's talks of maybe having to move that's a Monday or Tuesday.
What does that do, Fran?
The Titans.
What does that do? I understand.
I don't really hope it does anything. Because think about, like, it. I don't really think it does anything because it doesn't, like, we watched what happened with the Patriots-Chiefs. They played the games, and now this week, Stephon Gilmore tested positive. Like, you just can't, I don't know.
Moving it 24 hours and 48 hours doesn't make sense to me. It made a little bit more sense because the Patriots did get all the rapid testing back negative. So fine. But the Titans are an absolute disaster when it comes to this right now. And you're trying to tell me that moving it to Monday or Tuesday fixes the fact that for the last 2 weeks, they can't stop testing positive? That makes no fucking sense. What are we doing here?
It doesn't. It seems like the sentiment in the league is that people are obviously pissed, which is no surprise.
No. Nashville, get your shit together.
It's been ongoing in Nashville, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I would be even more pissed right now because I'm loving watching the Bills play.
Yeah.
So now I'm being robbed of a Josh Allen game.
Listen,
possibly.
You want to talk about pro petty. I love the city of Nashville. It's one of my favorite cities in the country. However, there is someone that lives in Nashville that I cannot stand. So now I am being pro petty. I'm selling it. I hate the city of Nashville right now. Can't stand it. So Nashville, you are ruining football. You're ruining it. You're ruining everything. And you're robbing us of a Josh Allen game. And we will never forgive you. But I do love you, Nashville. I miss you very much.
Yeah. It does really seem like people are unhappy about it. You know, like Torrey Smith had tweeted, the Titans should have to take a loss and play next week because of their irresponsible actions. You know, a lot people are saying that there's a lot of feelings this week. Chris Morrison had retweeted some of that and then said, then Bills players would not be paid game check under revised COVID-19 terms. It's hot button topic. Players are discussing amongst each other, roster size, game day actives, IR modifications, and COVID-19 designations were among conditions put into place to avoid this scenario. So
no one knows.
It's no one knows. And it sounds like, you know, if they were to say that, let's just not play this game, the Titans have been irresponsible and they just deserve to take an L here, that hurts the Bills and the players on the Bills, which is obviously completely unfair. So,
like I said,
continues to be a shit show.
Nashville, get your shit together. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Big time. Yeah. All right, last thing I want to mention is just a little quarterback switch. We talked about Sam Darnold briefly. You know, that's kind of a little bit of an injury situation. But Dwayne Haskins has been benched for Kyle Allen. I know a lot of people aren't really paying the closest attention to the Washington football team. Like, I don't really think people are choosing to watch them play over their own teams or,
Fran,
you know, maybe spending a lot of time watching the Washington football team.
Do you know where Kyle Allen went to school?
Ooh, Texas A&M.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, it's tough because I don't really know if Dwayne Haskins sucked enough to be benched because the whole team as a whole is really shitty. However, you know, that the quarterback is always the first to go. That's just kind of how it works. Look at what happened in Chicago. So, unfortunately, he's getting benched. Now, Kyle Allen, I thought played pretty well in Carolina last year.
Yeah. I was surprised. I mean, no shade at him. I was surprised. I think that, you know, Dwayne Haskins is a very good quarterback. I completely agree with what you just said. He's the first to go because the whole team is just in disarray right now. And it's easy to blame the quarterback because it's by far the most important spot on the field. We'll see what happens with Kyle Allen, but I don't think there are many quarterbacks that you could plug into the football team's system right now and be successful. It's a difficult team to watch.
Definitely. And it we'll probably see that when Kyle Allen goes in, and I'm just taking a guess, is going to have the same kind of situation that Dwayne Haskins did.
It's a safe guess.
So exactly. So that's just a little update in Washington. And we have our Thursday night football game, Bucks at the Bears, 2-3-1 teams, which is, I mean, not shocking for the Bucks, but is when I looked at that, I was like, oh, I kind of, it's 2-3-1 teams. This is like a should be a pretty good Thursday night football game.
Little Thursday night football porn per se, Fran.
I hope so.
I hope so too. This, you know, the last couple Thursday night games have been no good. They've been good, but they've been not fun to talk about because they're usually garbage games. It's going to be interesting with the Bucks because I think Mike Evans is a game time decision. Chris Godwin hasn't practiced this week, so could look a little bit dicey for them. OJ Howard is out, and then we need to see what happens with Nick Foles because clearly hit Big Dick Nick's first go last week as a starter did not go well.
I will say this is slightly inappropriate, but the nickname really does go well with us calling it Thursday Night Porn.
Oh, it's true. Oh, I'll add to that. And it's Tom Brady. Who doesn't want to see Tom Brady in a little porn?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that?
Right.
Can I say that? I'm saying it.
Sure you can.
Okay, I'm saying it. And by the way, the beef with Bruce Arians has not slowed down. The fact that he still picked Andrew Luck when he has Tom Brady on his team, I got so many DMs about how that rant, they were just like, I can't believe, you know, like it was perfect. Andrew Luck. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get angry. It's a beautiful Thursday morning. Anyways, back to this game. I hope Bruce Arians says something really stupid. Bless you.
Oh my goodness.
Bless you. And it's allergic to all of our porn talk. I hope that Bruce Arians says something dumb after this game just so I can continue to my beef with Bruce. But even though we've got a lot of questionable guys for the Bucks, I just can't imagine Chicago beating the Bucks. The defense has been playing well. And again, I'm never going to bet against Tom Brady. He had a perfect quarterback rating in the second half. He threw 5 touchdowns. I understand he had a pick 6. Whatever. Who cares? It's Tom Brady. I'm going with the Bucks.
I, too, am picking the Bucks.
And Blattman just gave us the throat slash because our 2 minutes is up. But look at that.
It was a soft 2 minutes. I didn't want to like fully.
But think about this, though. We've never gone minutes talking about Thursday night football because normally the games are so bad.
History.
Exactly. We have. And you know what? That wraps up week five. Doesn't wrap up week five. It wraps up our preview of week five. So thank you guys for listening. Grab yourself an Owens transfusion mix to enjoy some Thursday night football. And we will see you all on Monday. I'll show you.